This morning we'd like to look a little more carefully at this 124th Psalm, where David declares, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. And he realizes that his is not just a personal experience. And so he enjoins all of the people of God to acknowledge this fact. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, we wouldn't have made it. We would have fallen long ago. We would have perished. For life is filled with many perils. The psalmist mentions a couple of these, the perils of men who have set themselves against us. You know, it's unfortunate, but it is true. You just can't please everyone. And there are people who hate you. Maybe some of them for a cause, but others, even without a cause, just hate you because of the way you look. They don't like your voice. They just don't like you. And people rise up against you to put you down, to destroy you. As my daughters were growing up, they were both blessed with great beauty. And sometimes they would come home upset and disturbed because cutting things were said to them by their girlfriends. Or their girlfriends would be spreading lies about them to others, just saying things that were hurtful and cutting. And they would come home all hurt and distressed over the things that were being said or the things that were said to them that were so hurtful and cutting. And I would sit down with them and I'd say, sweetheart, you've got to realize that God has blessed you with great beauty, but being beautiful is not only a blessing, it can be a curse because it does create jealousy. And the other girls seeing you and seeing how beautiful you are jealous of you, and they just want to put you down. They can't stand it that you're as pretty as you are. And so you're going to have to learn that going through life, being pretty as you are, you're going to be faced with people who are going to be opposed to you just because you're so pretty. They think that it's not right that anyone should be as beautiful as you are, and thus they're going to just try and cut you down and put you down, and you're just going to have to expect that to happen. It isn't, you know, it isn't really something that you have done. It's just the fact that God has made you beautiful that you're going to have to face this experience. I have to go through that with my granddaughters now. I give them the same little lecture because they're so beautiful. But it's sad, but it's just one of the facts of life. Not everybody likes you. People rise up against you. The Bible tells us that offenses are going to come. You cannot help but offend someone. I mean, the person who has lived without offending someone has not lived. I mean, they just don't exist. No matter what you do, many times you find yourself in a catch-22 situation where no matter what you do, you're going to make someone angry. If you're very kind, you're parked at a stop sign and there's people who are ready to cross the street, but you really have the right of way, but you're very kind and you're gracious, and you say, you come ahead, you know. The person that you've signaled to come ahead may smile and thank you, but the person behind you is laying on their horn. You cause me to miss the signal at the next block, you know, and they go past waving their fist, and they're angry. And so you make some people happy by the things you do, but the same things anger others. When we were pastoring in Tucson years ago, we had an annual 4th of July picnic up on Mount Lemmon. It was great to get out of the heat of the desert on the 4th of July. And so the church enjoyed this neat 4th of July picnic, and we'd play football and baseball and have races and all. And just a glorious time at the beautiful government park up on Mount Lemmon. Well, this one year, there was a family that came into the church, and came time for the 4th of July picnic, and they said, well, we own an acre of ground up on Mount Lemmon, and we think that it would be wonderful for the church not to go to the public park, but let's just gather on our lot up there on Mount Lemmon. We don't have any amenities there. We don't have running water or anything, but we could have a day of fasting and prayer. Well, now, as a pastor of a church, how can you speak against the desire of people to fast and pray? I mean, that's a wonderful thing for the people to be engaged in any time, 4th of July or any other day. You know, you can't say, oh, well, now we don't want to pray. You know, I mean, what do you look like, you know, if you speak out against prayer and fasting? And yet that wasn't what we had in mind for the 4th of July picnic, the annual picnic. And so they had talked around to some of the people the tremendous idea of just spending the day in fasting and prayer. But the other half of the congregation said, we're not going to take our children to an unimproved lot at the top of Mount Lemmon where they don't even have restroom facilities. And if you decide to go up there, we're not going. Well, the spiritual group said, if you go to that public campground, we're not going. All right, Pastor Chuck, where are we going to have the 4th of July picnic? Man, talk about a catch-22. You're going to have a split in the church, no matter which one you choose. I mean, you're just... So I said, well, we'll let the board decide. But there are just things that come along in which we are incompatible with other people. And many of the trials of our life stem from people problems. And there are people that just have it in for you. And they want to destroy you. Now, David, who wrote this psalm, probably experienced it to a greater degree than any of us will ever experience it. Saul hated David and sought to destroy him. He pursued after David like David was a partridge, chasing him over the mountains, attempting several times to kill him. If it wasn't for the agility of David in dodging the javelins, he would have had it. And Saul's hatred of David stemmed from the fact that David was so popular with the people and was a hero. And the people were acclaiming him as a hero, and they were giving him really more praise than they were Saul. And that made Saul angry. It wasn't that David had done anything against Saul. Saul did not have a more devoted or faithful servant than David. But yet he was bitterly opposed to David because of David's popularity among the people. He was jealous. David's own son, Absalom, rebelled against his father and drove him from the throne in Jerusalem. They rose up against him. Now, in both cases, the Lord delivered David out of the hands of his enemies. Of course, David also had the Philistines, and his whole nation was constantly, it was surrounded by enemies. The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Syrians, they were constantly being opposed by the enemy nations around them. And that's why David said, if it had not been that the Lord who was on our side, let all of Israel say, because God had delivered the whole nation from their enemies who were seeking to destroy them. Had God not been with us, we would have been overrun by our enemies. We were outnumbered by our enemies. They were powerful enemies. And it had not been that the Lord who was on our side helped us, we would have been wiped out by our enemies. He speaks not only of the perils from the enemies, but of just those difficult experiences of life that we often go through that seem like they are going to overwhelm us. The deep water in which sometimes we feel we are drowning. A severe prolonged illness. A death of a dear loved one. Financial hardships. The breakup of a marriage. These are all deep waters that threaten to engulf us and to destroy us. Those places where we're at a loss in knowing what to do. We have done everything we know how to do. And yet it seems that things are none the better. And it may be that some of you this morning are going through deep water of this sort. And really, that's the reason why you're here. You're sort of come to the place where you've got to reach out beyond yourself because you know that you've done all that you can possibly do and still you're drowning. You haven't found any answers. And you're finally reaching out to God in hopes that there's an answer for you in God, that God maybe will somehow, some way see fit to help you today. You know, I have known people and I have met many people who go through life wanting to be independent of God. They don't want to talk about God. It's sort of a forbidden subject with them. And if you mention God to them, they become actually hostile and angry. Don't want to talk about it. Coming home on the airplane or the jet, a stewardess was taken up with our grandchildren. She something in them touched her heart, and so she just paid a lot of special attention to us and to the grandchildren, brought them ice cream sundaes out of first class section, and you know, a lot of little special goodies for them. And so finally, as we were coming in towards Los Angeles, she sat down and started to talk with Kay, talking about how beautiful the grandchildren were and how happy our whole family seemed to be, and was just sitting there talking with Kay, and so Kay naturally brought the subject around to the Lord, to the Bible, to serving God. And she informed Kay that she was a Catholic. However, she didn't go to church. And Kay said, well, do you ever read the Bible? And she says, well, no, I don't. And she said, I'm pretty busy, you know. And Kay said, well, don't forget, you know, there's an eternity. And she stood up and said, well, I have to go now, you know. And, you know, just don't talk to me about those things. But these same people I've observed come to a place sooner or later in life, and oftentimes it is later, when the doctors have said, well, we're sorry, chemotherapy won't do any more good, and radiation won't be, there's just nothing more we can do. We've done all we can, and, you know, you maybe have 2-3 weeks left. How then suddenly they're open to talking about God. They've come to the end of their own resources. They've come to the end of the line, and they realize that. And now I have to reach out beyond myself. I don't have it anymore. It's beyond me. It's beyond my ability now. And at that point, I'm sort of forced by the circumstances to reach out beyond myself for help, for strength, for guidance. We've all been there before, where we were overwhelmed by the deep water that we were going through. And we will all be there again. You can't escape it. That's just a part of life. I have the capacity of seeing the upside and the good to everything. Someone bring along an idea and I think, oh, that's great. You know, let's go for it. Well, the Lord gave me Kay as a balance because she can see the downside of everything. She can see the problems that might come, the difficulties, and it's good because I didn't think of that. I didn't see that, but she helps me to see, and so she balances me, because I'm gung-ho, go for anything, and she says, wait a minute, now, what of this, and what of that? Well, I didn't think about that, you know, and she can see that, well, she has B-negative blood, and she said she thought that was sort of saying something to her. But she makes a tremendous balance. And sometimes, though, I feel that she carries it a little far. And she'll say, but honey, that's so dangerous. Now, don't let them stand there. That's dangerous, honey. And, you know, don't let them go. That's dangerous. Always talking about the dangers. Until finally I said, well, honey, living is dangerous. I mean, if you look at it, really, it's dangerous to get out of bed in the morning. Dangerous to take a bath. How many people are killed in the bathtub? Slip and fall, you know. And living is dangerous. And so it is. Life is fraught with difficulties, with dangers. And it's good to know that God is there on our side to help us. You say, well, isn't that sort of presumptive to say that God is on your side? How can you say that? Well, you can say that if you're on God's side. And really, I think that it is more important that I'm on God's side than he's on my side. And I rarely seek to conscript God to my side, but I always seek to be on his side. The king, Asa, when he came to the throne, was just 25 years old, began to reign over Judah. And shortly after he began his reign, his kingdom was threatened by an invasion of over a million people from Ethiopia. Massive invasion with chariots and all. Asa, hopelessly outnumbered, outgunned, so to speak, came to the Lord in prayer. I mean, you're facing a situation of which you know that you don't have an army sufficient. You don't have the strength sufficient. You're forced beyond yourself. You go to the Lord in prayer, which he did. He went to the Lord in prayer. And he began his prayer declaring, "Lord, it is nothing for you to help those who are weak or those who are strong. It doesn't really make any difference to you, God, whether my army is strong or my army is weak. Doesn't matter to you. Help us, O Lord. For in your name, we're going to go out against this enemy. We're going to go out against them, though we are outnumbered by them. And though they have more chariots than we have, we're going to go out against them. We're going to go face them. They're coming to invade the land, and we're going to go out against them." Now, speaking from a natural standpoint, we don't have a ghost of a chance, but we're going to go out anyhow. We're going to defend our families, our homeland. In your name, we're going to go out against them. Don't let man prevail against you. I like that. God, we're on your side. we're going to go out in your name. So don't let man prevail against you. You see, that's putting the whole thing in the right perspective. Yes, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been that God helped me, the enemy would have overwhelmed me. I would have fallen prey. But because God was with me to help me, I was able to conquer. I was able to survive. I've come through. And then as Asa returned from that battle victorious, the prophet came out to meet him. And the prophet said, "The Lord will be with you as long as you will be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." So how can I say the Lord is on my side? Because I'm on his side. I seek him. I have sought him. And he has promised, as long as I will be with him, he'll be with me. As long as I seek to walk with him, he will walk with me. But you see, not everybody can say the Lord is on our side. In fact, in Psalm it says, "The face of the Lord is against the wicked." If you have set yourself in opposition to God, then God will be opposed to you. If you set your heart against the ways of God, then God will be against you. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil. But the hand of the Lord is with those who will do his good. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he asked the question, "Since God is for us, who can be against us?" any circumstance, any problem, any difficulty, any enemy that you might face is no match for God. They may be more than you can handle. And as I look at the power of evil in the world today, it's greater than the power of good. I can see where evil is in control and winning the battle against good. They're in the control of most of the media, the educational system, the judicial system, the legislative system. I don't see men standing for righteousness. I see those who make a righteous stand being ridiculed by the media, being ruled against by the courts. And I would be very discouraged and disheartened if I didn't realize that God's power is greater than every force or power that is aligned against us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? But it's important that we see the situations and the problems in life with that perspective, with the power of God as the perspective. For the psalmist closes this short little psalm by saying, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, he's reminding himself of the tremendous power of God. The Lord who is for me. If it had not been that the Lord who is for us intervened, we would have been destroyed. But our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, when we are in the midst of a problem that seems to be drowning our souls, when we're going through these experiences, interpersonal, financial, or whatever, that just seem to be wiping us out and we don't see the answer and it just seems that things are getting worse and I can't see any light at the, it's just darkness ahead and I see no hope, I see no way, it just seems so bleak and I'm forced at that point to reach out for help beyond myself. I know that I can't do it, I've got to reach out for help. It's so good to know when I reach out to God for help that this problem that is overwhelming me is really nothing to him. After all, he made the heaven and the earth. This whole concept is brought together in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts when the apostles had gotten in trouble for preaching Jesus Christ to the people. The religious rulers of the land were very angry with them. They arrested them and they brought them into court. And they said, didn't we warn you strictly not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus? Now you've filled the whole city with this man's doctrine. You intend to bring his blood on our heads. And they were angry. The leaders, the rulers were angry. And they beat them. And again commanded them, don't you preach anymore about this man Jesus Christ. And so having gone through this heavy experience, being beaten, being threatened, and then being released, they came back to the company of little believers. There weren't many of them. They were surely hopelessly outnumbered by the society around them. And they told them the things that transpired. They told how they were beaten, how they were threatened not to speak anymore. And so they said, well, let's pray. And it's interesting that they began their prayer, O Lord, you have made the heaven and the earth and everything that is in them. It's a good way to start your prayer. Because when you realize the power of God, the greatness of God, the one who helps us, for the Lord is our help who has made heaven and earth. And when you realize that, then suddenly our problems shrink. We see them now in the true perspective, not in the light of my ability or my strength or my capacity, but I see them now in the light of His power. His glory. And those things that were just drowning me, my soul was drowning in the dilemma, is no longer a problem. Because I see them now in the light of God, His power. I don't have to rely on my own strength. I don't have to rely on my own genius. My own capacities, my help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. And it had not been for His help, I wouldn't be here today. How many times I can look back in my life and see where I was pressed to the wall and didn't see any way out, but God came through and God delivered me and God brought me out of it. And here I am. Now, God didn't bring me this far just to dump me. He didn't bring me this far to say, okay, I brought you this far, now you're on your own, man. You just see if you can make it from here. No way. The fact of God's help and deliverance in the past gives me assurance of His help and deliverance in the future. And I realize that the dangers of life, the circumstances of life, the perils of life, whatever I might face in the future, whatever uncertainties that are lurking out there in my path that I'm going to be coming across sooner or later, no matter what's there, the Lord who has delivered me and brought me through this far will take me all the way. For He will complete that work He has begun in my life. The Bible says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Whatever God begins, He always finishes. He hasn't begun a good work in you to just let it go. But He shall continue to be with you, to help you, to strengthen you. And He'll see you through every difficulty. If it had not been for the Lord who is our help, and let all the people now say, if it had not been for the Lord who is our help, we would have been overrun by the enemy. We would have drowned in the deep water that we went through. But thank God He was there, He helped us, and will continue to help us. Shall we pray? Father, how thankful we are that we can call upon You for help in our time and hour of need. And know, Lord, that You are there. You have been our help in ages past. And Lord, You shall continue as we walk in fellowship with You. Lord, I pray for those today who are going through deep water. Those whose souls are overwhelmed this morning by the circumstances of life. Those who are pressed to the wall and this morning in desperation have turned to You. Lord, let them experience the work of your Holy Spirit in the circumstances that they are facing, as you, Lord, unravel the knots, the mess that they have made of their lives, and as you, Lord, put things back together in their right order. In Jesus' name, amen. If this morning you are here in need of the Lord's help, drowning in your circumstances, your soul overwhelmed, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room where the pastors will be there to pray with you, to help you to find God's strength and God's provisions for you at this time. May the Lord be with you and uphold you as you walk in fellowship with Him, in Jesus' name.